Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome back, everyone. One of the best parts of this job here, if you will, is revisiting with guests that have been on the show before and finding out what's new and what's different with them. And we're going to be talking now with Michael Genovese of Chase Energy Solutions, which is an energy efficiency consultant. And last time we talked, it's been, four or five months, maybe 6 months, a long time, a lot of interviews ago. But it was very interesting because, you know, a lot of times we talk about business and technical issues and things like that, and we don't get into some of the things that are so obvious and so important. And one of those things is energy efficiency and the legislations that happen around those, especially if you own a building. And Chase Energy Solutions is a company that helps commercial building owners save money by reducing their energy usage and complying with California law AB 1103, which we'll talk about again as well. So, Michael, welcome back to the show.
It's nice to see you again, Bill.
Great to have you back. You know, before, it was a very interesting topic. We got a lot of interesting comments on the last interview because it's not our normal type of stuff that we talk about. But tell us a little bit about Chase Energy Solutions and AB 1103 and what's happening.
Well, the last time we talked was in, I believe, middle of June. And at that time, as we had discussed, the AB 1103 mandate was for buildings that were 10,000 square feet, both commercial and industrial parks of 10,000 square feet and above. And now we're, as of July 1st, 2014, it's been now mandated that buildings of 5,000 square feet and above is now the benchmark to where this new law comes into play. So it does incorporate a lot more of the buildings than previous.
Okay. And I remember as we were talking, but that was just about to happen. And so that went through and there wasn't an uproar or an outcry of, you know, what are you doing to us?
Well, basically, Bill, we're still trying to spread the word. It's still taking a very long time to implement. We expected a tremendous amount of pushback, but I think it's just because, and we have not had that pushback, and I believe it's just simply because people are not aware of what's going on. I know that Sacramento's trying to push it out, putting into more public domain so people can pull up more about it. But it just does not seem to be on anybody's forefront to apply to this and get it done. So,
and a big part of that, I would imagine, is because it's really something that doesn't come up until a property is sold, leased, or financed, right?
That is true. But the thing that we're finding out in more detail, Bill, is that as AB 1103 continues to manufacture itself as far as coming out and being the law that it is, I just want to read some of the energy disclosure requirements of AB 1103, which is right off their website. And it basically is stating that a building owner must disclose the energy information, a prospective buyer of the building, no later than 24 hours prior to the execution of the sales contract, a prospective lessee of the entire building no later than 24 hours prior to the execution of the lease, and a prospective lender financing the entire building no later than submittal of the loan application. So this process is way before getting involved in an actual sales contract. And that's where a lot of people are falling short, is because they're thinking, well, I'll try to get involved with it maybe midstream or after it closes. And this stuff has to be done way ahead of time.
And what if it's not done? Are there repercussions, penalties? And
well, the problem is a lot of people in our industry are thinking that there's just not enough teeth in the law right now. And I think that once more and more people are aware of what's going on, there probably will be stricter penalties and fines moving forward. But as it stands right now, I think that's why people are not really rushing out to get this thing done, is because there really has not been any real strong pushback as far as a penalty hurting the consumer.
Oh, I see. Okay. So, and you know, a lot of business owners are just shell shocked by all the changes that are coming at them every year from, this is just one more.
Right.
And then for a lot of business owners, it's picked up. So they're busy. They're getting busy. So what's happened with Chase and what's been happening with you guys? How have your lives changed in the last 6 months or so?
Well, the biggest things that we've seen is that we have been contacted. There was always kind of a rule of thumb that when you start dealing with the larger corporations, whether it be for shopping centers or whether it be for big commercial hotels, whatever the case may be, you just assume that these guys have a full-fledged engineering team that would take care of all this information. The problem is, as we're finding out, those engineers' team, let's say for a hotel, is just there for maintenance, for design, and some basic servicing of the building. When we start talking to this team of benchmarking, they have no idea. They have no idea what that really entails from A to Z. And so we're just scratching our head thinking, wow, what a better opportunity for us, something that we never thought about going after, all of a sudden now is in our lap. These are just some of the projects that we have done over the last few years. The Hyatt Regency Long Beach, Courtyard by Marriott, both Woodland Hills and Sherman Oaks, Miramonte Resort and Spa in Indian Wells, the Westin Mission Hills Golf Course in Rancho Mirage, the Westin Hotel in Long Beach, Laguna Cliffs Inn, Laguna Beach, the Hilton Palm Springs, and just a few months ago, Hotel Del Coronado. So we have done quite a bit of larger projects.
I'd be curious to know what happened at the Hotel Del. I always thought of the Hotel Del as a leaky bucket. I love the Hotel Del, by the way, but I do. But they have the whole newer section. Did it score? I mean, how are these things scoring out? Are they scoring out well?
Well, we went down there and did a lighting project. We can't go into particulars, but it was a lighting project that we did for them. I believe it was back in end of May, maybe early June. So, yes.
Okay. So these are all about energy efficiency in many different ways.
Correct.
Lighting, leakage, airflow, all kinds of different things, right?
Right. Yes.
Just looking for how to tighten up the ship.
Exactly. And I think the biggest thing is we've talked about before is the biggest difference I see in our company, Bill, versus so many other companies that say they do benchmarking is most people lead with the benchmarking and saying, we will do your electricity. Well, that's fine. That's the low-hanging fruit mm-hmm. of everybody's presentation. But we also do the heating, the ventilation, so it'd be the HVAC systems, the chillers, the boilers, the cooling towers. If the building automation systems and controls need updating, we will do that. If you have solar panels or fuel cells, we do that. The business envelope with the roof, the windows, insulation, we take care of all that. If you were to need modernization of your elevators, low flow toilets, smart irrigation. So we do a full nine range of just not the easy energy usage.
Yeah. And of course, you know, the fact that the government's mandated this just shows that they're serious about energy efficiency. This is a good thing for the business owners, though. I think you mentioned before some of the discoveries that you make could save them tens of thousands of dollars over the period of time after the fixes are made.
Correct. And I'm glad you brought that up because my business partner, Mike Berkeley, and I just got done writing an article for Scotsman Guide Commercial Edition that was published this month in September. And its heading is Better Living Through Benchmarking. But I just want to read a couple of ideas from that particular article because it's exactly what you're talking about. It starts off by benchmarking also provides the ability to measure a building's efficiency against itself over time. It provides data for energy conservation and sustainability for maintenance. Public officials use benchmarking as a method of identifying wasteful or inefficient buildings in the government's portfolio. And through this process, the data required from this incorporates lessons learned in the formulation of further legislation. It hurts me to say and to tell you, Bill, the most efficient buildings in the country are the U.S. governments because they're the ones who have seen this in action. They're the ones who have seen how benchmarking works. And that's why it's being pushed out to the masses.
That's an interesting comment. I mean, you don't think of the government as being efficient in much of anything, but the fact that they've realized that in at least this one way, they can run their business efficiently, the business of the government, by being efficient. I can imagine the millions and millions of square feet of real estate that they occupy and work in. So is the big hurdle still awareness here in Southern California, or is it getting better?
It is getting better. We still run into numerous financial companies, titles and escrows that really have never even heard of this still, which is just amazing. Whether it be a local title company or a national title company, we're still running into, they kind of quasi know about it, but they're just really not ready to pursue and know exactly what to do. We have seen how people are sidestepping it, which is a very unusual situation, but we see how people are avoiding it. And we thought that was very interesting. But that's what's happening now. So I think until there's a little bit more teeth into the law, I think as more and more properties get unwound because they're finding out that their building really is not efficient whatsoever, and they're going to have to put tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to get it to that point, that these transactions are coming undone.
Well, I'm curious as to how somebody would sidestep this. What would be some examples of what they might do to sidestep it?
Well, basically, you have a buyer and seller who just agree, sign a piece of paper and say, we both agree that none of this disclosure information is on the table, and we're okay with that. So, but that's not the law. The law says you must disclose this information to buyer and seller. And so they're just
signing waivers on all of this and saying, well, we'll, if they catch us, they catch us kind of thing. If it comes up.
Exactly right. And all it's going to take is one situation where something just blows up, and then all of a sudden you'll definitely be hearing more of it.
Yeah. The way it looks like it's worded, it would ring a bell somewhere at the state level. But we all know that there's a lot of bells ringing all the time at the state level. They can't get to all of them.
Yes, exactly.
And so when you say, one of the things that we talked about, and you said you need additional vendors, what did you mean by that?
Well, basically because business is picking up, and one of the ways that we can really help ourselves is that we have a organization that we're part of, one of the founding members, is the UC, which is the United States Energy Efficiency Alliance, and we're one of the founding members of that. And what we do is if we find that there are qualified vendors, whether it be electrical, plumbing, HVAC, whatever the case may be, and we can get a hold of them. It's just one page is a code of ethics, and then the other pages is a one-page application. It doesn't cost anything. It's free. But basically what we want to do is make sure we have enough boots on the ground so that we're constantly getting stronger and stronger as an agency, so when these deals do kick off, that we're able to use some local talent here.
Okay, so is this your initiative or Chase Energy?
Chase Energy Solutions.
Chase Energy is assembling a kind of an army of individuals who would be able to be of assistance and help, a list.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Okay, so if you're in the business of contracting HVAC, what specific are you looking at? Electricians
all trades. We need them all. So whether it be HVAC, whether it be electricians, whether it be plumbing, whether it be if they're into solar, whatever the case may be, if they're into water, all that information would be helpful to us. So that if we have a project, let's say in San Diego, that we'd have a team that could do that here in Orange County, LA County, whatever the case may be, would like to keep the local vendors, busy.
Well, I'm sure that they'd like to stay busy. So that's great. So how do they find out about that information?
Just get a hold of me or go to the website, and they would be able to do that. I could then push out a UC Energy Efficiency Alliance membership and get it out to them.
Okay. We'll talk about that in a second. Let's talk more about the business owner who says, yeah, well, I'm going to be selling, leasing, or financing my business pretty soon. How long does it take from the time they say call you and Chase Energy Solutions up and say, I think I need to get this study done. What's the fastest you can get out here? What's the fastest we can get this turned around so that I can do this selling, leasing, or financing my business?
Usually, Bill, we are looking at a 60-day period from when we get on the property. The biggest drain of time is we have to get all of the information from either gas company, Southern California Edison, and that usually is taking between 30 to 40 days. So getting all the statements for 18 months is usually the hardest, you know, pull of action is that. So once we have all of that, then we're able to go in and take care of our business, which only just takes a couple of weeks.
So is one tip there for the consumers out there who own these buildings to start, you know, make sure you don't dispose of those documents, those statements and things like that, because that's what you're going to benchmark off of?
Correct.
Okay. So if you're a listener out there with a building, 5,000 square feet or more, start saving your stuff. Start saving your your reports, because that could very well come in handy and save you a lot of time and trouble. It's probably not the easiest thing to go back and get those back statements if
correct.
It's a couple years back.
Yes. It's you're talking 18 months. You're right. Getting in from Southern California has been a problem. It's just time consuming.
Okay. So that's one tip there. But the other thing is that if you're considering buying or selling, leasing, or financing a building, or buying a building, then you should probably be talking to the seller, because the buyer can go through a lot of turmoil to get ready to buy the building and find out this hasn't been done. And this doesn't sound like this has to hold up a sale, but it certainly is one more thing to worry about if you don't.
Correct.
Right.
And that's why we are definitely talking to commercial realtors and letting them know, letting them be completely aware up front that if someone is, you know, going to be starting to list a property, that you should have this done ahead of time. Like I said, to know that all this information has to be done prior to the execution of a sales contract or a loan application, it just makes more sense to have this thing just checked off your list. You know about it. It's already done. And your biggest thing is you're in compliance.
You're in compliance. Now, one of the things that I'm a little bit confused about, Michael, is that we're talking about having a benchmark done and disclosing your benchmark report. I'm not seeing in here that it says you have to pass a certain benchmark of score.
Right. The first round of disclosure, Bill, is just a very simple form. It's very small. It's just a few page deal that we call our Energy Express. And that is just basically getting the absolute minimum to get it to a compliance perspective. Okay, it does not go into detail whatsoever. You've seen our 59-page
it's very comprehensive
audit, and so that's
lots of charts too. I like that part.
Yes, it really is. But that part is the actual audit. To get it done in California, AB 1103 specific, you just need to have us go out and do a very simple report. It's just a few pages, but it allows them to show that something has been done. So buyer and seller do have an idea of what's going on. Whether it be a 25% rating or a 75% rating, you need to have an idea, really realistically, what you're buying into.
Well, I could see a situation where this, having this done, having the fixes made, just like anything, you've put the time and effort into the building to make it a more efficient and more valuable asset. You're going to save money on the back end and building that into kind of a sale price. I think that, but mainly, you're going to know. I mean, we've been talking a lot, Michael, since you've been here, we've been talking a lot about how business transactions get held up at the point of sale because of lack of, you know, skeletons come out, lack
correct.
Of due diligence. And all of a sudden, well, you should have told me about that. And things blow up and fall apart.
Correct.
And if you're selling a business or leasing or financing your business, you don't want to put all that effort into that just to watch it blow up because you missed something along the way.
Right.
And this is a biggie here. This is a big thing to miss.
Right.
So if you're considering buying, selling, leasing, or financing a building 5,000 square feet or more in California, but also other parts of the country.
Parts of the country are coming on board, whether it be a lot of counties are coming on board, states are starting to come on board now. Because again, if the government's buildings are the most efficient in the country, they've already gone through the wait and see. They've already have now actual proof of the savings and how it can work. And so that's why they're pushing it out to the masses now, because they see it's not something we have to guess. It
right.
shows.
Okay? Yeah, very demonstrated.
So you have numerous states and especially counties that are coming on board now just for that purpose.
It's one of those rare situations where the government standard is something we should all live up to.
Yes, yes. And like I said, I was completely surprised when I read that information.
It's counterintuitive at best. Well, listen, if you've got a building and you're thinking about selling, leasing, or if you're going to buy a business or financing it, you're probably going to have to get this taken care of, this AB 1103 California law. Get in touch with Michael Genovese at Chase Energy Solutions. And what's the best way for them to reach you, Michael?
You can reach me on my cell phone, 714-336-5771. Or you can send me an email at mgenovese, that's G-E-N-E-V-A-Y, at chaseesi.com. Or please go to our website at www.chaseesi.com, download a brochure, and actually look up on our projects link on the top border and just look at some of the projects that we have done in the past.
Yeah, even if you're just curious about this, you should be. You know, think, put it into a file for thinking about your building along with your utility statements that you're saving now yes. into the future. Go to chaseesi.com, download a brochure, check it out, give Michael a call. Thanks very much for coming back and bringing us up to date. It's can we do another 6 month review?
I'm just
curious as to where the revolt comes in,
right.
But it's a good thing, and I think we should be proud of the government for taking a stand on this and saying this is something that everybody should be thinking about and worrying about is energy conservation.
Yes, exactly.
And so we'll keep in touch with you. Thanks very much for coming
back.
Thank you,
Bill, for having me back.
Well, my friends, that's going to do it for our show today. I want to thank you for listening in, and I hope you've learned something that will help you in some way with your future planning. A big thank you to my guests and to our sponsors, and I'd also like to thank our station manager, Paul Roberts, who's done his usual flawless, outstanding job today on the board, and octalkradio.net. You know, they've been hosting us here for almost a year at their beautiful tech-based studios. If you want to find some lively business content, go to octalkradio.net and check out their lineup. Remember, we update content daily, so please visit us often. Tell your friends to find us at exitcoachradio.com or at the exitcoachnetwork.com. We're here to help you, our hero, the private business owner, with tips, ideas, and precautions so that you are well planned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.